Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is Thursday, July 23rd. This is Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this week. I'm recording this earlier than I usually do. It's Thursday morning here in Europe. My travel schedule is I'm leaving tomorrow morning bright and early and hope to make it to Thomas Meyer's birthday party in Basel. Then I head to Lake Constance, then back to Lake Geneva, then to Italy for a short period, then back into Switzerland, and we'll do the workshop in Basel on August 29th. On the website, the iPhone app is downloading. People are using it. It's making it easier for iPhone users to access the website. It's subscriber only, and we're working on the Android app. Our poster, again, is the contact tracing poster. There are many dangerous efforts on the way. I want you to be very careful about this. This is something we want to fight and stop. When Biden flubbed and referred to taking our kids to market, I don't think it was Biden being demented or just making a mistake. I think it was Biden forgetting which audience he was talking to. New tune, we're celebrating Sidney Powell, last week's hero, the attorney that busted through on the Michael Flynn case. Amazing job for that ex-prosecutor and litigator. Coming up, Pete Kennedy's interview with Thomas Massey, congressman from Kentucky, on the Prime Act will publish this week. And we have a great tune featured image on Congress Massey. Please get your congressman to sign on to sponsor the Prime Act. That's so important. And it's a great way of generating a lot of income locally from small ranchers, small farmers. Rambus Chartology, I'll do the equity overview next week, but we've published the Rambus Chartology on the second quarter wrap-up web presentation. Basically, what Rambus is saying is Planet Equity is on, and I'll discuss it more next week, but he shows absolutely the scenario of what happens when you have rising stock market, rising precious metals, and rising inflation all at the same time. A really unbelievable overview, and I strongly recommend it to you. And I think reading it before next week will help you understand what I'm saying with the equity overview. This is clearly an environment where the more you can do it yourself is great, because inflation and rising expenses is going to be a real problem, and it's going to be critical to keep a high learning speed about new technology. And I also have to say, you're going to have to get totally radical about lowering toxicity and increasing immune system. That's going to be one of the key navigation skills for World War III, which, again, we're already in. State of our currency, I'm almost done. We just posted Chapter 9 at currency.celeri.com. This is the big currency overview I started last year. I apologize to everyone for how long it's taken. At the same time, COVID-19 turned this into the huge pig going through the snake. I should probably say the planet going through the snake. It's unbelievable. Anyway, but I didn't want to get this one wrong, because it branches out and impacts all analysis on everything. And anyway, so once we publish it and send it out in hard copy to the premium subscribers, all the other wrap-ups will start coming much faster. And I just really thank you for your patience, but I had no idea it would take this long, but I wanted to get it right. One of the things that gets stressed in this analysis is the role of the financial bazooka, sort of the economic warfare capacity of whoever is running the reserve currency. It's so, so important. And what I'm discovering again and again is that many people don't understand the ability for the dollar to remain the reserve currency, because that financial bazooka is in place. And if you look at what's happening, the Chapter 9 was the chapter on global reset. That's the one we just added. And I think it's really, because this is so much to digest, I really think it's worth reading that, even if you read it before I put up the last two chapters. What it explains more about is the bazooka that they've put together now with FASB 56 and what they're doing with the missing money. It's very important to understand the flow of events, to understand that financial bazooka. Anyway, but take a look, and again, once we have it in the complete, once we finish the web presentation form, we'll roll it into the PDF, and then the printers will turn it into the hard copy. Future science, we're going to make the first future science presentation by Ulrich Groniger on neutrinos public this week, and I think it will help you understand the explosion in technology underway. So if there are people who you know who really haven't gotten their minds around the technology explosion underway, I think neutrinos will help. Also help you understand what may be going on in Antarctica, because the neutrinos are definitely part of the important research going on down there. Anyway, I encourage you to send that around. Missing money update. We have an update coming from Dr. Mark Skidmore, which is so powerful and important that I have basically asked all of our IT team to reserve time to handle the denial of service attacks. Because every time we put out something like this, you know, I always say, okay, how many thousands of dollars are we prepared to spend on handling the hacking? I don't want to encourage the denial of service attacks, but I expect they're coming. Anyway, it's a good one, so make sure you're looking. I hope to get it up next week. It could take the following week, but it's going to come this summer. Take Action Crowdfund. Thank you all so much for participating, for signing up, for sending donations. Again, we're encouraging you, if you go to the website for Take Action Crowdfund, you can link right from the homepage. We're encouraging you to sign up for Children's Health Defense, for Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, Take Action Crowdfund. Latest news from Children's Health Defense is Kennedy's going to debate Dershowitz. In fact, it's today. So it hasn't started yet. It'll start shortly on, I think, East Coast morning. Anyway, it'll be interesting because Dershowitz lies out of both sides of his mouth. I don't think he, you know, I think Dershowitz left the truth behind so long ago. And the amazing thing is about him, he just makes stuff up and he just tells lies out of whole cloth and does it with impunity. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Welcome page. If you're a new subscriber, make sure you've reviewed the welcome page. And just remember our tech recommendations and other recommendations for navigating the website in terms of technical issues is in the tips and tricks, and I recommend you check out that section. Events, we have, again, the Basel event is coming up on August 29th. I also have encouraged some of the European subscribers who were signed up with the Hang. I'm going to be at Lake Constance from the 1st to the 10th, so I'm hoping some of you might want to come over and have lunch or dinner or hang out and talk on the balcony. It's very beautiful. Training coming up. People from around U.S., Canada, and one in Europe have offered to gather. The Swiss subscribers are already gathering, or that process is underway. Darlene Heckman will be doing training for 2 weeks. I think it's next week and 2 weeks after that. And you'll be getting email invitations. Most of you who signed up, some areas we have duplication, so we're sorting that out. But if you're willing to host a private gathering or help people get together, I think it's very important that subscribers have the opportunity to meet each other. And clearly with the travel restrictions, waiting for me to come around is not going to work. So again, thank you for your interest. And if you haven't contacted customer service and you're interested in helping gather, definitely let them know. customerservice@sillier.com. Theme, bidding the bubble farewell. I find myself having tense discussions with subscribers and clients because we've been in a bubble. Most people in the G7 nations have been in a bubble. And we've been a protected class of people, and we're not used to having to engage in active predator evasion. We're used to thinking that the world is relatively friendly, and it's no longer that. And what I find is that if you haven't made that mental switch, you're not seeing the risks. And I understand this because I had to go from being a member of the protected class to practicing predator evasion. It started for me in 1995. So I know how hard it is to make the switch. I was lucky. I had very deep old relationships in the Afro-American community, as well as people who'd grown up under Hitler, Stalin, or Chinese communism. So I had populations and friends and family I could go to who understood how this worked and what it was like to live in a state of predator evasion. So find those populations who already know how to do it, and because you're going to have to learn how to deal in asymmetrical warfare. One of the things I'm noticing, I've tried for many, many years to encourage people to know the sheriff, know the enforcement line, and know how all the money works locally. And one of the reasons is our system is run not by logic, unless you're looking at it from the point of view of Mr. Global's logic, it's run by power and leverage. So you have a group of people running things who are going, you know, towards a goal that is not lawful according to your understanding of the law and is not in your best interest. And the question is, you can't reason with them because they really don't care what you think and they're going there for a logic that's other than what's good for you. What you need is leverage. So If the city council is mandating masks, yes, you can write them a long letter and provide them with tons of documentation why that doesn't make sense. But what you need is political leverage so that they'll do what you want. If Mr. Global has a control file on all of them, all the logic in the world won't help. So you need private investigator or intelligence agency skills and access to information, and you have to get leverage. And you can't do that unless you have strong relationships with sheriff and enforcement and access to their flow of information. And you can't do that unless you unpack your local financial ecosystem and know how the money works. You know, I would immediately, if I was trying to get leverage with my local city council, I'd immediately be getting into the details of how their money works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, because that's where you're going to find your leverage. It's a long process to get your arms around how the money works around you, but it's a process that if you have faith and you stick with it, ultimately you're going to find amazing amounts of opportunities and ways to get political leverage. It just takes time and patience. And P.S., keep all the information on a very paperful form on your kitchen table. You don't need to be online for this. When Bill Binney said we ought to get our kids all learning how to make homegrown encryption systems, he's absolutely right. Perfect example of the contact tracing problem I wanted to mention, and this will give you a sense of how fast the bubble's coming down. Wonderful subscriber sent me a link to a YouTube presentation. It was the administrator for the North Dakota contract tracing problem making a presentation about what they're up to. And to say that it was terrifying, I mean, I responded back to the subscriber and subscriber input. I said, I'd love to see what's in his control file. My bet is kiddie porn. And don't laugh, because that's how they've gotten a lot. They've gotten a lot of people with kiddie porn. You know, that you get them addicted to entrainment. And I want everybody listening to this, because 98%, according to the most recent poll, 98% of American men have watched porn in the last 6 months. Now, what you do is you use entrainment to get people addicted to porn, and then you migrate them into platforms with underage actors, essentially. And what have you got? Or involuntary actors. And what have you got? You've got somebody on a felony rap, you've got a control file. Then you can even migrate them into real pedophilia, then you've really got them over a barrel. So don't think it's not happening. I think on kiddie porn, they've gotten millions of control files. Millions. I think it's really, really bad. So we see the contract administrator for North Dakota, and one of the things that comes out is they're using an app, a smartphone app called Care19. So I did a little digging. Care19 is made by a LLC called Proud Crowd that has essentially no employees and is owned by a guy who's a full-time executive and has been for 19 years of Microsoft. So basically, this is a Microsoft front. And it turns out that the lieutenant governor of North Dakota was a very high-level Microsoft exec, because he sold his business to Microsoft in 2001 for $1.1 billion. So this stinks to high heaven. And they're going to use this app not just for North Dakota, but South Dakota and Wyoming. This is a big problem. You know, you got Bill Gates figuring out how to basically, you know, absolutely control you, even kidnap your kids. Very, very scary. But if you look at the story behind Care19, there's a lot of information that could give you leverage. So this is exactly the kind of thing, if you're in those areas, you need to dig and find out. We posted a commentary on golocal.solari.com, the first quarter wrap-up presentation. There'll be a link to the homepage so you can find out if you live in Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota, you want to plug in and understand what's going on. Okay, financial markets. I'm working with the Tuesday close since I'm recording early. All the returns, again, are total returns for 2020 year-to-date. U.S. dollar index now flat. Technically, it's down 3 basis points, but it's essentially flat for the year. The long treasury is still flying at 22.1%, the intermediate at 10.39%, bond aggregate up 5.68%, and junk still down 4.73%, but clearly reflecting the Fed put. The mortgage rates are at a record low, and of course, still low rates. It's part of what's supporting Planet Equity. One of the most frightening things that's going on that's really making the dollar financial bazooka powerful is secrecy. So FASB, first Harvard went dark. We knew that was a bad sign. Then FASB 56. And you're watching all these pools of capital, not to mention the dark pools, go dark. And what that does is that gives lots of players the ability to play economic warfare, disaster capitalism, all the different things that make a fortune in this environment, but really empower the financial bazooka because people can't see what's going on. I mean, I think if the professional staff that used to be in a house at Harvard was able to connect the dots and see what they're doing, they couldn't get away with it. So if you look at sort of how going direct is going to work and the fact that you're basically wiping out human rights or trying to wipe out human rights and trying to wipe out the Constitution, I think the internal staff at Harvard would have had a hard time with that. And that's one of the reasons they went dark. So new step in going dark, proposed SEC rules, even Jim Cramer is screaming about them. It's going to change the threshold of hedge funds that have to report from $100 million to $3.3 billion. What that's going to do, the hedge funds have had a poor performance. It's going to put the hedge funds up to $3.3 billion in a position to play disaster capitalism and economic warfare. And that's sort of a flotilla of players to help with the financial bazooka. You combine that with FASB 56 and all the other things we've written about, and what you're talking about is an unbelievable financial bazooka like the world has never seen. It's going to be very interesting. Anyway, I put the notes from Jim Cramer in our notes. Equities were now in the black for the year. It's up more today. Monday, which was July 20th, marked 4 months since the NASDAQ 100 made its COVID crash low on March 20th. The index has rallied more than 50% since those lows 4 months ago, 56.6% to be exact. It's very rare to see moves like that. The homebuilders are now up 3.37%. I think a real indication of inflation is the activity in the home sales market in the United States, and we're starting to get reports in Europe of a pickup as well. Home sales rose 20% in June from May, so that's month to month. A report in the notes about the increased views that real estate, realtor.com is getting on urban versus suburban, but prices are holding. And if you look at that in the face of the devastation of Main Street economy, what that says to me is we're watching serious inflation as money looks for real assets to buy. The U.S. stimulus package is before Congress. McConnell and the leadership has indicated they expect $1 trillion package to pass in the first week of August. They're looking for more direct payments, the $1,250 check. McConnell says they may cap the income at $40,000. One of the most controversial is the extension of enhanced jobless benefits, which the Republicans are not supportive. They're looking for something that's more incentive to hire and retain workers. McConnell said it would include a $105 billion in funds for schools to reopen safely and a liability shield for businesses and charities to protect themselves from COVID-related lawsuits. If you look at the pressure to protect a wide range of businesses on COVID-related lawsuits, it's pretty frightening. And if you combine that with sort of other forms of lawlessness, let alone if you open the borders, it's going to be unbelievable. And the Republicans would like another round of funding for small business loans, but this time more carefully scripted to target businesses that were hard hit as opposed to, you know, the pork fest that happened last time. Every indicator is that small businesses in the United States have been absolutely devastated, and I think it's going to get much worse, not better. So it's why it's so important that whatever business you're in, you need to be looking at the financial benefits of staying in that business versus doing more for yourself, because do it yourself is going to get a lot more attractive. VGK, the European ETF, now down 9.31%. So the EU and Europe hasn't come back to the extent the US markets have. The leaders of the European Union this week agreed to a stimulus package and budget deal. So it's $1 trillion long-term budget for the European Union and then three-quarters of $1 trillion recovery plan. The Financial Times waxed eloquent about it. It said it was Europe's Hamilton moment. Hamilton brought the states together by mutualizing the state's debt after the Revolutionary War, and many people felt that it really what was created the federal government. And the EU hasn't done that, but there's no doubt they're planning, if you look at it, they're planning on issuing a significant amount of debt to finance a lot of this. And so it's not a bad parallel as this being a Hamilton moment for the European Union. Germany now down 1.67%, the developed markets minus North America down 8.83%. China down 3.45%. China working out China's role in the going direct global reset is really happening through war. If you look at the flooding that's going on in China and the harm that it's doing to the Three Gorges Dam project, the Yangtze River water management, we're watching millions of people being displaced, or it's hard to tell what the deaths have been. The flooding is pretty bad. And this is really devastating to China's grain breadbasket, which means they're going to have to buy in the global markets or people are going to starve. And it really looks to me like this is part of trying to get China back in the box. Meantime, this week, China launched their mission to Mars. The rocket took off, I think, this morning. It's a pretty significant project. It's a probe that will arrive in Mars in February, and it's will then land, and it's got a rover that will then study Mars. So part of China trying to assert its leadership. And if you look at how many engineers they're graduating and what it costs to field an engineer in China versus the Europe or the United States, their ability to field an enormous space effort is significant. Now, if you look at all the economic warfare that's being applied to China, it's going to absolutely pinch their military budget and could also pinch their space budget. If you look at the importance of not losing control in space, I doubt, I think the last place they'll cut. Be very interesting to see which they cut first, the space or Navy. Emerging markets down 4.5%, commodities still down 23.99%. If you read the Rambis review, he talks about commodities possibly starting a new bull, which I think is going to happen. Question is when and the specifics of how the new technology is going to relate. Again, if, as I talk about in the currency, state of our currencies, if they bring out the breakthrough energy, it's going to be much more deflationary hit on commodities. Silver is really flying. So gold is now up 20% for the year, but silver up 17%. Silver is now up 83% from its 2020 low. So if you bought the NASDAQ at its low, you'd be up 56%. If you bought silver at its low, you're up 83%. So you can see the incredible value of inside information in this environment. But it also shows you with this kind of volatility, you have to be really patient. Oil still in the doghouse, depending on which index you're looking at, down 51% to 77%. So oil still in the doghouse, which is one of the reasons I think the breakthrough energy may be closer than you think. Let's look at some top stories. The U.S.-China relations clearly struggling. The U.S. announced that they're closing the Chinese Houston consulate. That's the sister consulate to the U.S. consulate in Wuhan, which has been closed. And needless to say, the Chinese are more than irritated. Big, big question is, will the floods improve Chinese purchases of U.S. grains? It'll be interesting to see what China does. I also think, given the war, both in cyberspace and space, and in the South China Sea, I just expect China to build a whole completely separate internet and try and do separate payment systems. It's going to be really interesting to see how G7 with going direct versus China sort of fit in China's role in the global economy. There is no way G7 will ever allow China to become dominant. And of course, one of the key deciding points there is space. It's interesting to show you how bad the tensions are getting. Morgan Stanley just blocked their remote network access for China interns. So I don't blame them, but this is going to turn into quite a war. So I consider, the G7 efforts to put China back in the box is clearly a major trend. Okay, the COVID-19 op, unfortunately, mind control seems to be working very, very well in the U.S. This is just in from Associated Press. Only about 1 in 10 Americans think daycare centers, preschools, or K-12 schools should open this fall without restrictions, according to a new poll from the Associated Press. Most think mask requirements and other safety measures are necessary to restart in-person instruction, and roughly 3 to 10 say that teaching kids in classrooms shouldn't happen at all. This is absolutely insane. First of all, there's no scientific reason not to have classes, school, everything else, no more than when we've had a bad flu season. But if you've looked, if you've ever gone online and looked at pictures and videos of the plan for what a school's going to be like and operate with social distancing and masks, etc., you can't send a child into that. It's not an educational institute. It's basically training kids to be stupid and robots and weird, and you're going to have to homeschool. You cannot send your kids into that. It's gone. It's over. We are watching a series of global leaders who've tried to resist the COVID-19 mandates be either, I think, assassinated or given very difficult times in their elections. Check out the stories of what happened in Burundi, in Belarus, in Brazil, now leader in the Ivory Coast. You can see the politics here are pretty significant and include the kind of covert operations we discussed in Deep State Tactics 101. If you haven't read or listened to that, you might want to avail yourself of it. The coronavirus testing frauds continue. The reports just keep rolling in. Contract tracing, as I said, is getting more and more dangerous. I want you to pay attention. It's frightening how many people are downloading the contact tracing or allowing it to be on their phone and playing with it, et cetera, et cetera. It's pretty scary. The Arkansas governor called in the National Guard to help with quarantines. This is not funny or nice, especially because we're talking about tests which are highly unreliable. And people who are positive but are asymptomatic, because coronavirus, is basically in the bodies of millions and millions of people. It doesn't mean it's infectious, and it doesn't mean they're sick. I give the chances of a major or long-term lockdown starting this fall or winter to be pretty significant. It depends on how fast they think they have the toxins ready to chip people. But you can tell they want to get this push to chip the global population as fast as possible. If you look, Pfizer just got a $2 billion deal from the federal government to fulfill a COVID-19 toxin order. If you look at the pricing of how this works, it's frightening. So now we're paying someone to make a vaccine. We're paying their development costs. We're paying them to buy it. We're guaranteeing a market. Then we cover all liability, so they have absolutely no liability. They inject people with bio-waste and heavy metals and God knows what the nanotechnology is, or, my fear is brain-machine interface, and we proceed to pay for all the illness. So why, with our taxes, are we paying for this? It's incredible. I mean, the economics, you're talking about guaranteeing massive profits and zero liability to somebody who's killing you. It's so extraordinary. You don't know what to say. Meantime, there is a dance around Deutsche Bank. I've mentioned it before, but I want you to keep an eye on it because it's very, very important. And it's very important, I believe, to the missing money story as well. We saw the Supreme Court decide that Deutsche Bank had to give Trump's tax returns to the New York prosecutors. That is, I believe, what inspired Trump to pardon Roger Stone, because the last thing he needed was the New York prosecutors having Roger Stone's memory banks as well as his tax returns. I think it's one of the reasons that Maxwell got put on ice. She knows way, way too much about the money. It's got nothing to do with sex. Then we saw a class action suit against Deutsche Bank related to the Epstein case. The case was moved to a new judge last week. Suddenly, ba-boom, 4 days later, you see a double assassination. A former member of Kroll Associates, one of the spookiest firms in the world, shows up dressed as a FedEx man, kills the judge's husband and son. I guess the judge wasn't at home. And then goes home and he gets shot. They said it was a suicide. I'll believe that one. Anyway, this game is at the heart of the financial coup. And I think, so money's flying out of the U.S. government. Somehow it's finding its way probably into Epstein and Clinton Foundation. Deutsche Bank's involved. They're financing Trump. There's a money trail here that we're sort of looking through the glass darkly. Whitney Webb has written one or two very good pieces on this, and I tweeted them out. But I would suggest you can sort of keep a watch on this by watching Whitney Webb. She publishes mostly at Mint Press, but I'll always make sure I'll I'll tweet it out. Now, you can tell Trump is unbelievably nervous about this. And I'm sure if the truth of everything, every deal he'd ever done with Deutsche Bank, as well as his tax returns came out, he would have a real problem holding his base. The Israelis would be seriously compromised. The question is, who's doing the killing here? And it wouldn't surprise me if it was the Israelis. Food wars. We saw a chicken farm in New Jersey with 300,000 chickens burned down in a pattern I would describe as highly suspicious and probably coming from sophisticated weaponry above, very good chance. If you combine that with the destruction of the Chinese breadbasket with the floods and all the other things we've talked about over the last year causing serious problems with the food supply, both in China but throughout the United States, I would say the push to get control of the food supply and to deny the average person animal protein is very serious and ongoing. And I'll say it again, I've said it every day for I don't know how many years. Where is your food coming from? Where are you going to get fresh, wholesome, healthy food, including animal protein, if you are a meat eater? Very, very important. Just in closing for this week, remember many of the stories we're watching are about who controls the spigot and the importance of the spigot as part of the financial bazooka and sort of deciding how the global reset goes and who's the insider, who's the outsider, and how much they can win. So if you get a chance, definitely check out the big piece on the currency.solari.com on state of our currencies. Our hero this week is Mayor Bryce Hamblin, who is the mayor of a small town in Arizona. He wrote a letter. I'll just read you part of it. Over the past several weeks, I've been asked repeatedly what the town of Eger plans to do about COVID-19, mass visitors, rides, etc. It is somewhat alarming how many expect and almost invite a more drastic infringement on their freedoms. My response from the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic has been that we will err on the side of freedom. When riots begin to riddle the country and our governor took the drastic measure of a statewide curfew again, I maintain that we will err on the side of freedom. I have received numerous phone calls from reporters, citizens, visitors, and complete strangers to our area asking why the town of Eger has not canceled upcoming rodeos and our 4th of July parade. Again, my response is that Eger will err on the side of freedom. What authority does the town of Eger or any other state or local government have to infringe on the rights of healthy law-abiding citizens? It's great. There's a link in the notes to the mayor's letter as well as in our little commentary that we do for the hero of the week. Our blast from the past is one I've mentioned many, many times, but every week I find myself mentioning again to somebody who needs it, whether because they're a new subscriber or just haven't picked up on it before. It's a piece I wrote called Turtle Forth, and turtling is an essential tactic for navigating World War III when you're in an environment with maximum uncertainty and the resistance of war. You have to just move forward and take whatever actions you can. And that can change moment to moment, day to day, what actions you can do. Just keep moving forward. You know, I don't care how hopeless everything looks. Simply ignore the fact that it's hopeless and keep on turtling forward. So you'll often hear me say, we're just gonna have to turtle this. Let's turtle. Let's go to the movies. Another very popular one, I've used it several times before. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. As you know, I love Ridley and Tony Scott, and this is one of Ridley Scott's best. The Gladiator with Russell Crowe, set as Rome, the falling empire after the death of Marcus Aurelius, is struggling with corruption. You've got an unbelievably corrupt emperor. He reminds me of Andrew Cuomo, sort of poisoned by his own power hunger and overshoots the mark. But there are many lessons about the nature of corruption and how it destroys and the power and importance of inner authority. Okay, our interview this evening is an introduction to a new series we're launching called Via Europa. I was planning on doing business and political coverage of Europe from my plan to spend sort of half my time here, and finally decided, no, I need somebody who knows a lot more about Europe than me. And I asked Vanessa Bjerg-Schaefer if she would do it. She wears many hats. It's very important to have both business and political experience. Some of you have seen her commentary on French TV and the internet, She is the person I met, Vanessa, because she offered to translate Dylan Reed and the Aristocracy of Stock Profits, which takes phenomenal knowledge of both business and politics, which she did. And so the French version, of course, is there at dylanreedandco.com. Vanessa has a real nose for the deeper trend, which, of course, is what we love here on the Salier Report. She chose the name Via Europa, inspired by the ancient Roman road system that built that road system really gathered Europe in many senses. Anyway, so she has a short video tonight introducing Via Europa. She'll be doing recording. She also did something, I won't give it away. It's a charming cultural tidbit, and it comes from the last time I was in France seeing her. We talked a lot about the French music, and she knows how much I love popular French music. So Via Europa, I hope you enjoy it. Ask Catherine. I just got a email today from a fantastic subscriber. I wanted to read it to you. She described it as being from her fantastic CSA. This is a message she just received from her CSA. We have some unfortunate news to share. We are canceling our CSA shares and pre-order schedule for delivery this upcoming weekend, July 24th and July 25th. An individual from out of state who visited our outdoor campsite this past weekend and interacted with our staff has informed us that they tested positive for COVID-19. They were asymptomatic at the time of their visit, but went to get tested on Tuesday 7/21 after a sudden loss of taste and smell. Both the FDA and CDC guidelines do not indicate that food or food packaging are significant means of COVID-19 transmission. However, out of precaution for the safety of our customers and staff, we've decided to cease all sales immediately to our farm store, farmers market, CSA, and wholesale for the upcoming week. In addition, we've asked our staff to isolate themselves, monitor for symptoms, have set up testing appointments, and plan to wait out a 14-day quarantine or negative test results before resuming sales. This is a huge blow in the middle of the peak summer season, but any other scenario poses risks we are unwilling to take. Over the course of the next week or two, I will be removing all items from your store orders scheduled for this weekend, so you will not be charged. Please choose to support other local farmers during our absence. If all goes well, we should be cleared to resume sales by next weekend, 7/31 and 8/1, but we will continue to be in contact as the situation develops. This is a reminder, you need to have redundant sources and some do-it-yourself if possible. Make sure you have plenty of inventories, but again, redundant sources of fresh food. Okay, from subscriber input, I wanted to repeat this one here. In one of your recent Money and Markets, you briefly mentioned Antarctica. I used to work there, among other things, guiding people overland to the South Pole. During the 2006 season, there was a project going on, and I got a private tour after I expressed interest. Raytheon was drilling a hole through the ice cap to the rock below, and I was told the same thing was happening in the North Pole. They wanted to see if they could shoot photons through the Earth from pole to pole. I have no idea why, but I now wonder if it had something to do with the control grid infrastructure that is now coming into view. I sent that to Ulrich, and she asked me if I would make her neutrino presentation public. It's been more than a year since it was published, and I said, yes, let's do that. And it will really help you understand the explosion in the technology underway. So it's a great one to send to friends and people who want to get introduced to the Salier Report, and I encourage you to send it on. So we'll have that up. Available to the public this week. Next, ask Catherine. Jordan Peterson is a much celebrated professor of psychology at the University of Toronto. His wife had cancer in 2018. To deal with the stress, he started taking a drug. He dropped off the map last fall, and people are waiting to hear about his status. He finally found treatment in Russia for his withdrawal. Yes, all those drugs are very dangerous. You know, it was quite an experience of understanding the problem of just walking into the North American health system and not being careful. You really trying to get the best of natural and the best of Western medicine, trying to get the best of both worlds is very tricky, and you need a lot of knowledge. But if you go in unthinking, you can end up absolutely addicted or even dead. I often say that saved my life to get me thrown out of the establishment, because for 11 years I wasn't allowed to go to a hospital or a doctor, and I had to figure it out myself. And that's kind of what it took to break the trance. Hey, Catherine, the CDC website shows a steady 11-week decline in actual COVID-19 deaths. There are several columns that show increasing numbers, but as the charts clearly show, the increasing deaths are combined with other causes. The media is reporting cases, but the actual deaths have been steadily declining for almost 3 months. Yes, last week I talked about the fact that the deaths in Texas in 2018 and then 2019 flu seasons was, you know, approximately three times the death on COVID so far. So To say that this is a PSYOP is an understatement. Yes, time for a complete lockdown as the weekly deaths will soon be less than 1,000 for the entire country. In 2018, the U.S. had about 925 people per week die by suicide. No numbers for the year-to-date number. Looks like suicide would also qualify as a pandemic. Gosh, I need a life. I'm highly confident that the economic shutdown of Main Street is killing far more people than anything attributed to COVID, even including the pump numbers. So heart attacks, stress-related disease, isolation from family if you're in a nursing home, suicide, insufficient food, water, shelter. And I think that's the goal. I definitely think, you know, clearly what we're watching, depopulation is part of the, you know, part of the goals here. It's all part of the reset. One way you kill people with money is with healthcare expense. Let me just read you this. It comes from MedPage. Median charge amounts for hospital treatment of COVID-19, the sticker price for patients without insurance or receiving out-of-network care, range from about $35,000 for those aged 23 to 40, $46,000 for individuals in their 50s, according to a report released Tuesday by Fair Health, based on payer data covering more than 150 million Americans. So-called allowed amounts, the total estimated to be paid by patients and their insurer, were lower, however. These range from just over $17,000 for patients older than 70 to about $24,000 for those ages 51 to 60. The report, which also detailed other characteristics of COVID-19 patients, including the prevalence of comorbidities stratified by age and geography, as well as telehealth services, revealed considerable geographic variation in median charges as well. In the rest, let's see, in fact, very low charge amounts for patients older than 70 in the Northeast skewed the national level figures. In the rest of the country, the over 70 group had the highest charge amounts of any age stratum, as high as $93,000 in the West, yet the national median of $37,000 for this group was the second lowest of the report's 8 age groups. FAIR analyzed private insurer data from 31 billion claim records from more than 60 payors and third-party administrators concerning more than 150 million people, including those on Medicare Advantage. The analysis included claims from January 1st to January 30th with dates of service through mid-May. Fair Health said its data set of private insurance claims is the largest anywhere, covering 75% of the total market. However, the analysis did not include patients enrolled in original Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, or state and local programs. I can imagine more than a few bills are bankrupting people. Catherine, love your report. I also subscribe to Jim Willie along the line of what you're talking about in this week's report. Jim Willie is reporting that the WHO criminals are telling governments not to conduct autopsies on COVID victims. Italy is aware that this is a Bill Gates bioweapon and recently conducted 50 autopsies in Bergamo, Italy. Results are there is a bacteria mixed with a virus cocktail that caused blood clotting in the veins of the dead. Lungs cannot get sufficient oxygen into the blood. They're treating it with anticoagulants, aspirin, and anti-inflammatory with good results. Take care. Yes, there has been lots of discussion. I posted this report of the Italian autopsy. I also posted the report from the pathologist who's the head of the Bulgarian Pathologist Association. So there's been lots of discussion about what is causing this blood coagulation. Is it a pathogen? Is it a pathogen plus electromagnetics? But whatever it is, it's cutting off the oxygen. And the skepticism about whether there really is a, there's tremendous skepticism that there's such a thing as a natural virus involved here. This is a new one. Occasionally, I check in with a global research news website to see what they're reporting on and was impressed with a recent article entitled The Global Reset Unplugged, The Deep State. This provided what seemed to me a pretty good summation of the big picture of the pandemic and what it implies going forward. Anyway, towards this end, there was a paragraph that really caught my eye. It talks about China already planning to financially reset with the People's Bank of China backed blockchain-based cryptocurrency, or yuan, that will also be supported by gold. The cryptocurrency the Chinese have been working on is backed by basically bank assets, not gold. Now, it wouldn't surprise me to see them do a gold-backed cryptocurrency, but I don't think that will be, you know, that will be the dessert, not the entree. Their goal now is to build out liquidity for their currents globally, and a major kind of liquidity, and that's not going to be done with gold, so as far as I can see. But I would encourage you to check out the state of our currency, because that sort of has all my thinking on sort of what's going on in terms of the evolution. You know, as I said, I think COVID-19 is about, and the global reset is about, extending the dollar, managing the bubbles through to the new system, and then a cryptocurrency under the governance of the G7. And it's really a partnership between the Bank of International Settlements and the Fed. Anyway, but I would encourage you to take a look at that. Catherine, as India has the most English-speaking people, what are the chances India would be included with a Five Eyes nation to share intelligence? Would that be a chess move against China? There's no doubt the U.S. is using India to sort of offset the power of China, certainly at the Eurasia side. There was a headline this week saying it's not Five Eyes anymore, it's Six Eyes, and the six is Israel. I think that is much more to the point. And, you know, some people think of Israel as a country. I don't think of Israel as a country. I think Israel as a vehicle for a certain segment of transnational organized crime to affect their authority at the sovereign governmental level. And so you're talking about a mafia coming in and using sovereign powers to access the Five Eyes system. And I think there's nothing more dangerous in the whole world. And I've been yapping about it for more than a decade. And I just think that whole group is nuts. Somebody posted something, I forget what it was, but it was a rap about how bad things are, and basically said the Israels were teamed up with 1,000 IQ reptilians, and the reality is, you know, I have no idea if that's true, but that sort of describes their approach to things. Dear Catherine, thank you for the great wrap-up. I'm writing in follow-up to discussion that you and Dr. Farrell had on EMF technology for disease treatment and induction. The company that I work for has developed a low-frequency magnetic field technology that is undergoing clinical trials to treat glioblastoma. I can never pronounce it right. Glioblastoma, the most common type of brain cancer. This technology was born from true garage scientists, and it's taken us 15 years to develop it to the level where we are using it for medical treatment. This is getting to Star Trek tech, but the inside joke for many in the company is the following. If this is what we can accomplish on our own, what did the government contractors have on the shelves? Exactly. The point of the email is to demonstrate that the technology is developed in the private space and almost ready to roll out to the open market. I still consider our tech at a very crude level of development, but rest assured that magnetic fields, low power, low frequency, can be modulated to produce an effect in living tissue. Absolutely. Disease states, if you know what signals to emit, are doable. With 5G, the frequencies can act like carrier waves to target lower frequency magnetic signals that are listened to by cells. I absolutely believe that there's somehow that they're using frequencies to trigger disease in people. And that comes from just my experience with the physical harassment during the litigation, but then working with some of the targeted individuals about what they've dealt with and what they're up against. One of the things that you're posting underscores, and I think it's so very important, is that we are just in the beginning of an explosion of technology that is underway that is very hard for many of us to fathom because it's all so paradigm changing. And if you read the Rambus Chartology, he writes about that as well and assumes it's part, and I agree with him, it's part of the whole planet equity picture. Hi, Catherine. I was listening to the second quarter wrap up and heard you mention training. I'm a senior instructional designer and I create training courses for a living. I'd be more than happy to pitch in and help. I also have a platform to serve up the courses if that is needed. I've been looking for a way to help and maybe this is it. I really appreciate your letting me know. My goal is to first catch up on all the wrap-ups now that state of our currencies is finally kind of sleuthed out, and then try and figure out training. I've been talking to several people who would be potential professors. That's step one, is getting the professionals kind of lined up and committed to do it. So it may take a little bit of time for me to get back to you, but I really, really appreciate it. I think it's very important. If you look at what's happening with schools and colleges and universities, it's not worth the money. So we're going to have to come up with plan B. Okay, that's it for today. Conclusion. Remember, this week, Pete Kennedy's great interview with Congressman Thomas Massie is coming out. Please get your congressman to support the Prime Act. I can't tell you how many few letters it takes to get a congressman ginned up to act. So, you know, or you can call. You don't have to write, but writing or calling makes a big difference. Anyway, Congressman Thomas Massie and the Prime Act. Then again, we'll take the neutrinos future science presentation by Oreg Groniger public this week. You can pass that on. No money in markets next week. Instead, we'll have the second quarter wrap up. Again, you can read the Rambus Chartology now. It pays to read it ahead of time. It's a long piece I printed out. It's over 100 pages. Great, great charts. The man is an unbelievable technical analyst. I did a couple presentations in the first quarter equity overview that still apply, and they're as good as today as they were then. There were three parts. The last one was don't lose money. And if you haven't listened to that, you need to, or the transcript's up. So check out the last section, don't lose money. And those rules are very, very useful for this time. Then the following week, I'm going to interrupt the second quarter wrap-up to do state of our currencies and update. That's going to include sort of the going direct global reset, and I'll be doing that as we finally send that wrap-up to the printer. And then the following week, second quarter wrap-up, the pandemic, the best sources. So what we're trying to do is gather all the best sources on the COVID-19 pandemic. And of course, you know what I think. To me, it's just a way of marketing the going direct global reset. And, you know, under the cover of that marketing, we're also watching the war to try and get China back in the box unfold. So that's the lineup. Equity overview, state of our currencies, second quarter wrap-up, the pandemic, best sources. So until next week, when I join you for the equity overview, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there's a conspiracy. Remember, if you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.